Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
The general election 2024 takes place on the 4th of July, and Vectis Radio has reached out to all parliamentary candidates in both constituencies. Today's parliamentary candidate is
Bob Seeley from the Conservatives. Welcome. How are you, Bob?
Good afternoon to you. I'm very well, thank you. It's a beautiful hot sunny day yet again, isn't it?
It is. No better place to be than on the Isle of Wight on a hot sunny day.
Fantastic.
Now,
so what are we doing in the radio studio?
Yeah, I'd prefer to be somewhere else. I'm sure you would be as well.
Is it fair to say that technically you're the current MP, or has that been dissolved?
You don't have an MP at the moment
in between parliaments. I was your Member of Parliament. And whatever happens, there's not going to be another Member of Parliament for the Isle of Wight for some time, because we now have two seats. So there's a Member of Parliament for the Isle of Wight West, which I hope to be, God willing, and with the support of the good folks of the Isle of Wight West. And there's the Isle of Wight East as well. So there's no more MP for the Isle of Wight per se, but we're going to have two MPs, one for the East, one for the West.
Okay, look, I've said this already to you, that over the last couple of weeks we've been talking to other parliamentary candidates. Slightly different line of questioning, because they're not or ever been an MP. So, you know, my first question to you is, you know, last 5 years, what have you done? What's happened?
Well, what I said was I wanted to be a champion for the Isle of Wight and deliver a better deal on the NHS, on jobs, on everything. And we've delivered £175 million of additional investment over my time as the MP. It is not just about me. And I'm so proud that, in fact, it's a team effort. So I work with the council, I work with the NHS, I work with voluntary groups across the island, West White Sports Centre, Community Centre, etc. So we've got, so it's a team effort that I'm part of. Some things I lead and some things I support and make sure those doors are open, that ministers' doors are open in Whitehall. So very briefly, we've got £26 million for the rebuild of the railway, we've got £20 million for the rebuild of Ryde Pier, we've got £20 million for the Towns Fund in Ryde, £25 million for the rebuild of the Isle of Wight College, £5.8 million for a regeneration scheme in East Cowes, which has been really great for jobs in East Cowes, £13.5 million, just a tad under, for the West White cycle route, and most importantly, £48 million that the chief executive is, that I supported the then chief executive of the Isle of Wight NHS in getting the partial rebuild at St Mary's, the diagnostic centre, and the new community health hub in Newport. There are smaller amounts as well. We've got an island uplift for the first time in our council budget. It's £4 million. I'd like it to be more, but it's the first time it's ever happened. And we've got £8 million in total from the Arts Council since I and others persuaded the Arts Council to make us a priority funding area. So we've got not far shy of an additional £200 million to go into the Isle of Wight. So it's better jobs, better health opportunities, etc. There's a lot of work to do, but we've done a great deal in the past few years working as part of Team Isle of Wight.
Is it enough? Because I know that 5 years ago you were in and you said that the Isle of Wight wasn't treated as well as other islands in the UK. Mm-hmm. And so I'm now asking, yes, okay, £200 million. Doesn't sound a massive amount of money, if I'm really, really honest, for a whole island and for 5 years. So are we...
Ian, I'm very proud of that record. I mean, look, we're having the Isle of Wight College rebuilt. We've got £48 million capital investment in the NHS and the island, and there's 90 more nurse roles.
Is
as
it
well
enough, though, Bob?
Well, look, I'm always going to be battling for more. So for me, when I go to, I'm never going to go into London, to Westminster, to Whitehall, to the ministers and say, don't worry about me because I've got enough. I'm always going to be saying, I want more. But I came into this job believing that we needed to get a better deal, and I'm confident that working with others as part of a great team effort, we have got a better deal.
Okay, look, I don't know where we. I've got loads of things I want to ask you that I'm not. I don't do things in order. I just think. First of all, I just want to say I've not enjoyed the last 5 years at all. Watching, you know, the pantomime that you know, first of all, COVID, and then how we reacted to that, and out after what happened. You know, I just look at the whole thing and think, I want my government to be honest, decent, and act with integrity. Mm-hmm. Don't think I've seen much of that in 5 years. Have you been hampered by it all? Because it must be embarrassing at times to have certain people that have been given very, very important jobs to act in the way that they have.
Look, I think integrity is incredibly important in politics, and so is straight talking. And I hope I have a reputation for straight talking. And I'm very good. I try to be very good at giving very, very straightforward answers. So I'm not going to defend something that's not defensible, but I will defend stuff that is defensible. And in Rishi Sunak, I think we have a man of integrity and decency as a prime minister. I think we've made massive progress. Remember, just over a year and a half ago, the IMF predicted a massive recession in this country. We had inflation running at over 11%. Inflation is now back to normal. We have wages growing faster than inflation again, so living standards are going up again. We are bringing taxes down. We spent, in the lifetime of this Parliament, Ian, about £400 billion that we didn't think we were going to have to spend at the beginning of it, in COVID and the cost of living crisis. We did that because we needed to look after each other. We needed to look after the British people to make sure they got through these extraordinary events. Yeah. So taxes, government spending went up. We're now gripping that government spending and it's coming back down. And for people on an average annual wage, and indeed for people on full-time national minimum wage, things are, you know, on the average wage, people have had the lowest tax threshold now since 1975. And some of the people who've done best under the Conservatives are people working full-time on the national minimum wage, because it has gone up by leaps and bounds. So I think in many things, we have got a record to be really proud of. And on the island, we've got a record to be proud of. So what I want, and my argument is, let's keep on doing that and not go back to square one. Because the one thing we know from Labour is that they are not being clean about their election promises and their tax and spend promises.
But haven't you made promises yourself in the last 5 years that you haven't honoured?
Well, tell me about
as a
them.
Party.
Tell me which ones.
Well, there's a number of things that I just look at the Isle of Wight and think, well, where are we with everything? I mean, we've still got.
A specific question here.
Well, look at our hospital for a start. Mm-hmm. You actually said 5 years ago in an interview, 2019 December, mm-hmm. you said, "I will take the ferries to task." Mm-hmm. Have you?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but we've still left with, in some people's eyes, the same issues, the same problems. Okay. So you haven't taken them to task.
For the first 5 years I was doing this job, I worked hard to get incremental improvement in. So, and we did. So, for example, the Transport Infrastructure Board negotiated a deal with the ferries so that people on benefits could get cheaper fares, help them get work on the mainland, or indeed, you know, just to get to the main more easily. We've had some improvement in services. So Whitelink put back a late service on the Ryde Pierhead to Portsmouth Harbour route, and there's been better connectivity. After COVID, you're right, the companies that own Whitelink and Red Funnel through a series of offshore firms, which is, I think, arguably an unethical form of capitalism, have, instead of trying to grow the market and bring prices down and being a friend to the island, they're doing the opposite. They're trying to get more and more money out of people. And when they changed their attitude, I changed mine. The council is the transport authority for the Isle of Wight. The council in the last 20 years has never produced a report looking at the damage the ferries are doing. So I stepped in to do it. Yeah. And that report came out earlier this year. I started writing it last summer, but it's taken over 6 months to produce because I had to go and get the evidence. And people say to me, well, writing a report was all very well, but the one thing, Ian, I've learned is that if you want to change government and if you want to change policy, you have to provide the evidence. And what I did, I went out and I got that evidence. Slower ferries, less frequent ferries, more disruption on the ferries. For example, 59 days out of the last 2 years, Whitelink has been disrupted by human error, by their own failings, either staff shortages or poor maintenance. And yes, they've gone up in price as well. I then produced that report, had the debates, wrote to ministers, got in touch with Downing Street, and I'm the one candidate that has got a commitment to an all-options review of the ferries in their party manifesto. None of the other candidates have that, and I've got that in our manifesto, a commitment to an all-options review of the Isle of Wight ferries, because I did the research, I did the work. I'm not the transport authority, but somebody had to do it, and I said, I'll do it, and I'll show the leadership to do it.
Yeah, but I would expect you to get that, Bob, because you're the MP, and the others are not the MP. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it.
There's nothing to stop anyone doing that, and there's nothing to stop the Transport Infrastructure Board from doing it, and there was nothing to stop the council as the transport authority from commissioning a report into the ferries. Nobody has done that for 20 years, so I did.
So what happens if we get a new government? Will it change? Do you still have that?
If we get a Conservative government, you'll get an all-options review of the Isle of Wight ferries, and we can make the case that the structure of the ferries is wrong, And that needs to change.
Why did it take 5 years to do?
Because I was working to get incremental change in, and we've got some incremental change. But after COVID, I think the situation became more acutely bad.
But 5 years is such a long time to just, you know, you think, okay, you mentioned it 5 years ago, and here we are, we're still talking about it. It'd be great if it was something.
You're basically saying I did nothing for 5 years. That's simply not true.
No, that's not what I said at all.
We were working to get incremental change on the ferries for years. After COVID, their attitude changed, and I think they went downhill in their attitude. And because of that, my attitude changed, and the relationship has become more antagonistic. So what I've done is, I'm not the transport authority, but I took it on myself to produce the report because somebody on the island needed to show the leadership to do it. And I did that report, and what I did, I presented it to government, and I've got government to commit, or the Conservative Party to commit, that if we win this election, that we will have a review and all options, quotes, all options review of the Isle of Wight ferries.
Okay, look, I'm just going to ask you just a random question, and this is something that I look at and think they're awkward questions. I'll ask them politely, and it is a chance for you to clarify. Mm-hmm. Do you own a house on the Isle of Wight?
No, I own a property in London. I don't live in it. My main residence is on the Isle of Wight and has been for over a decade.
So you don't own a property?
I own a property that I don't live in.
On the Isle of Wight, though?
No, I part own a property I don't live in.
You say you love the Isle of Wight and you don't own a property here. Can you see why people might question, you know, who is Bob Seeley and is he really for us?
Yeah, I'm really for us.
But you don't live here as a, your heart may be here, but you don't own a house.
Sorry, Ian, I own a property in London that my parents used to have that I don't live in, and I part own. I don't live in that property. I own it with my brother. It's rented out. I live in a rented property in London, and I live in my main, when I'm in London for Westminster, for Parliament, and when I'm on the Isle of Wight, I live in a rented property here, which has been my main residence for over a decade.
But you don't own a house here on the island, that's just to clarify.
I don't live in any house that I own. I own a property that I don't live in on the mainland.
Right, okay. You say you love the Isle of Wight. I've got loads of stuff here that was sent in to us. It came through the door, and thank you for doing that. I've got more from you than anyone else. But I noticed every single bit in here not printed on the island.
That is so I can get
sorry,
more out.
Sorry, you've gone off mic there.
That's so I can get more out. It's printed through the party association. I don't. I use a local printer sometimes, and sometimes I don't use a local printer.
But every single one, nothing from the island. I'd be thinking there'd be people out there that are printers on the Isle of Wight thinking, Bob doesn't own a house here, he doesn't use our facilities. Come on, that's we deserve better, don't we?
I mean, I'm sorry, I don't know how to answer that. If you look at all the stuff that the leaflets that I put out, outside elections, they're all pretty much printed on the island. During elections, because I sign up to the national printing schemes to save money so I can produce more leaflets, they're printed in Southampton, I think. I'm sorry if that offends you. I don't have an answer other than that.
Well, it doesn't offend me. It concerns me that, you know, you're not using local businesses.
I use local businesses all the time, and I shop in local stores here, really.
Okay, but none of the printers are any good?
No, I use Beardsaws quite a bit. I think they're great. They've been really good.
Okay, look.
But, you know, sometimes it's actually getting things out quickly.
You're an army veteran. Mm-hmm. How did you feel when Rishi Sunak left early at the D-Day celebrations?
As an army veteran, he attended the UK stuff. He spent the morning, and indeed I think much time before that, with our D-Day veterans, as did his wife, as you know. I think there was a mistake in his diary. He didn't think. I think he thought that it was French events in the afternoon, UK events in the morning. So we had an election campaign. He went back. I frankly don't have a problem with it. And I think some of this complaints and criticism is somewhat synthetic.
Not even as an army veteran yourself?
No, I really don't. I don't think it's an issue. Sorry, Ian.
Okay. Well, I mean, bearing in mind, I mean, Rishi Sunak wasn't your first choice of Prime Minister anyway, was he? You backed Liz Truss.
Yeah.
And we all know how that ended.
Actually, sorry, I didn't back Liz Truss. I backed Penny Mordaunt. Actually, but, yeah, I backed Penny Mordaunt.
But not Rishi Sunak?
No.
Hey, look, I there's lots of other things I've got to ask you, and I know that, you know, they're kind of awkward questions. I just want to get this out of the way, okay? Because this means something to me over the last 5 years and our family. My wife's auntie, Joan Smith, 98, she sadly passed away. She was a war veteran. She had a medal pinned on her by King George VI. Mm-hmm. Years later, she had a medal pinned on her by Queen Elizabeth II. Mm-hmm. She sadly died during COVID. We were all abiding by the rules. Two people turned up to the funeral. Whilst other people were breaking the rules that they set. Have you got anything to say about that?
Yeah, look, I think people should obey the rules. And if people don't obey the rules, they should apologise if they don't.
Did you ever apologise?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course I did.
Are you apologising now? Because it would mean a lot to people.
I'm sorry, I apologised back in the day. I apologised for an
error
of judgment.
But not to our listeners, not to me.
I apologised publicly at the time.
But you're not apologising now?
I'm happy to apologise now.
Because there's an awful lot of people that were affected by that. And when I go back to the poo pantomime that I referred to earlier about the difficult time, this is happening and happened in your time as an MP. And, you know, I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to, you know, not make anything of it and talk about other things. These are important because I need to trust. Islanders need to trust. They need to know there's integrity, there's honesty. And, you know, I'm just hearing, just by the way of you supposedly apologising now, we've had to get that out of you.
I'm sorry, that's simply not true.
That's what it feels like.
I made a very public apology at the time. End of. Sorry. Please feel free to go back and check that.
How do you feel about the housing situation on the island?
Well, what I've done is get exceptional circumstance from the government. And what I've tried to do with exceptional circumstance is to protect our green fields and to ensure that we target people for affordable housing, and we make sure that we target islanders and we build housing for islanders so we can look after islanders better, especially young islanders.
How do we do that when someone explained this to me yesterday, I didn't understand it. I'm not the most intelligent man in the world, but I look at it and think, if you're building a house and you're selling it to people, you're going to make as much money as you possibly can. That's the way of the world. So how do we build houses that are affordable for people? And I mean properly affordable for people here on the Isle of Wight. How are we doing? What are we doing about that?
Well, we've done pretty badly in some of the years past. And what I've tried to do is get exceptional circumstance for the government. And what I've done, and what that means is that we can build and we can target our own housing. And we can, frankly, do a better job than we've been doing. We need to protect our green fields for our quality of life, for our visitor economy, and because we have an incredibly rich natural world. And I want to keep that, and I think we need to keep it in for posterity. We also need to target, and we also need to make sure that we build housing for young people and that it's truly affordable. So one of the ways that I think we should be doing that is that the council should be making its own land available to work with housing associations so we can focus overwhelmingly on affordable housing. And rather than, at the moment, when we do build, we effectively build low-density, car-dependent, greenfield housing estates, which are very often not even designed for islanders and certainly not designed for young islanders. So we need a different approach, and what I've done is try to provide that different approach. I hope it's good enough, and I've done my best.
Let's move on to schools and education. We've got about sort of 7.5 minutes left, and it done half whiz through. So let's try and get some topics done as soon as we can. Schools and education. I know that I read somewhere that you weren't very happy with the way schools were on the island, and you criticised the council a little bit, which I think I
criticised the council a lot, actually, because they were a disgrace. They're an absolute disgrace, and they've let islanders down, and they've let young islanders down. And I'll tell you something. When people screw up, I will call them to account.
So surely you should be working with them. I've tried to,
but they have simply cowardly put off the decision on primary school places. And what that means, it's bad for teachers, bad for parents and bad for pupils. And what that means is you get substandard education on the Isle of Wight. They had a moral duty and a legal duty to provide school places schemes and the school places settlement. They refused to do so, and they effectively cancelled it last summer. And because of that, they've thrown some school futures into jeopardy. They're damaging children's education. Teachers are furious, and so are parents. And I think it's a disgrace, and I was right to call it out, and I'll do so again if I have to. And if it's the right thing to do for the good people of the Isle of Wight, I'll do so.
How much of that problem you just mentioned is down to cutbacks and financial?
None of it. We're spending more money at the schools than ever before. 90 million. The school's budget on the Isle of Wight is higher than it's ever been.
And you think that's okay? Because I'm still hearing from teachers and alike that there are still issues. They're underfunded. They don't have the funds to do their jobs. And
I talk to teachers all the time, and what teachers are furious about is the lack of school place planning. The school's budget has never been higher. We know that inflation's been bad, and because inflation has been bad, the school budgets have gone up.
How can you fix this without working with the Isle of Wight Council, though?
I work with the Isle of Wight Council, and I work with everyone who will work with me, but some people it is difficult to work with. And I can tell you something, Ian, if you're saying working with somebody means being refusing to criticise them, that is not something that I agree with. And I'll tell you now that when people do the right thing, I don't care what colour politics they are, I'll support them. And when people do the wrong thing, I don't care what colour politics they are, I won't support them. What the council have done recently is wrong.
So, clarity here. You are working with the council or you're not?
I try to work with the council, I think.
So when you had a meeting with Lady MP Keegan, who is overseeing education in the country, you had a meeting with her. How much involvement was there with the Isle of Wight Council?
She came down here to visit. I can't remember off the top of my head because it was her visit. You'll have to ask her team. I have a monthly meeting with the Chief Executive of the Isle of Wight Council and the Leader of the Isle of Wight Council. The Chief Executive of the Isle of Wight Council always turns up. It would be lovely if the Leader of the Council turns up. I think he's turned up to one meeting in 7 months.
But he can only turn up, or they can only turn up, if they are aware of the meeting.
I have a monthly meeting with the Chief Executive of the Isle of Wight Council. It's in everyone's diaries.
When it broke as a news story, I looked at it and I thought, how disappointing that we're not all working together.
I agree. I absolutely agree in it. I work all the time with anyone who will work with me, and I think it's a real shame that some senior councillors won't do so. Maybe you talk to them about it, because we have that monthly meeting with the Chief Executive and I, and unfortunately, I think out of the last 7 meetings, the Leader of the Council has turned up once.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's talk about water, sewage. What's your thoughts there? How do we fix that?
Well, we have. It's called the Environment Act in 2022, and we've done a tremendous amount. And on the Isle of Wight, Southern Water are going to spend £230 million improving sewage. So they're rebuilding, massive investment going into Sandown recycling plant, increasing capacity everywhere, bringing in slow-release water butts everywhere. So we're doing a great job of improving it. But the problem is these massive changes don't happen overnight. And if people want overnight change, what I have to try to tell people is actually this is going to take 5 or 10 years to fix. And it's not something that's going to be fixed overnight.
So you're saying 5 or 10 years to fix, and I kind of get that. Nothing's going to be fixed overnight when it comes down to the massive job, the massive infrastructure that needs to be put in place. Why was it allowed to just fall apart the way that it has over the last few years?
It hasn't fallen apart over the last few years. In the last 15 years, the water companies had the objective of repairing leaks. Fewer leaks, and there's 30% fewer leaks nationwide, and also to make sure the drinking water improved, and the quality of drinking water was high, because we take that for granted in this country, but it's important that we all have clean drinking water. At the same time, I think it is absolutely true, and as a swimmer, I hate the idea of polluted beaches and seas, that the water companies abused their rights to spill storm overflow, some of which then you had some household waste, not solids, but you had household wastewater coming through the system. So that was completely wrong. And in fact, it was a Conservative Member of Parliament, Philip Dunn, who then actually led the campaign to make this an issue, a political issue. And the government responded by bringing in a bill in 2021, the Environment Bill in 2021, to make sure that we acted. And we did something really revolutionary. So the Environment Bill in 2021, the National Water Plan, and the Storm Discharge Plan, these three plans together, unlimited fines for firms, much more investigation into the water firms, a banning of bonuses, that's in train, for companies with poor environmental record. $56 billion of investment in the next 10 years into the water companies, $230 million on the Isle of Wight. And also, Ian, on the Isle of Wight, we have made Southern Water an example of best practice. So that all the good stuff that's happening nationally to water is happening here first.
OK, look, I've got to ask you this quick question. And then we've got a minute and a half, and then I'm going to ask you why we should vote for you on July the 4th. Mm-hmm. Simple question. We've got energy companies that are making billions and billions of pounds of profit. How do you feel about that?
I don't think they're making billions, but they're certainly making millions. Look, The firms were the firms were privatised because nationalised firms had to compete with health, had to compete with pensions for funds. And that's why 50% of our sewage back in the 70s and 80s just went untreated into the rivers, into the sea.
Okay.
50% of our sewage.
Look, you've got less than a minute to tell us why we should vote for you.
Okay.
Your clock's ticking.
Fantastic. There's a clear choice on the 4th of July. I've done my best to be a champion for the Isle of Wight, and I would love that chance to continue that. And what I stand for is fighting to protect the countryside against Labour's clamps to bulldoze planning law, about keeping the triple lock, about keeping taxes coming down nationally. On the island, it's about continuing to deliver a better deal. It's about continuing to fight for islanders, to get more jobs, more investment, better opportunities for islanders, and to fight for each and every islander. Thank you.
OK, you've still got another 5 seconds.
Thank you very much
indeed
for your time.
Thank you for your time and good luck.
Your local station. We are your Vectis Radio. FM 104.6 and online at vectisradio.com.